Well, it really is a great delight to be here at the Four Parish Eucharist and picnic and confirmation and celebration, probably a few other things this morning, like a wedding anniversary. It's really great to be able to share this time with you all as we gather in Christ's presence and in his name. Thank you to all of you for your ministry in this area of our diocese. It's really good to be with you. This is the first time since 2019, if I've got the right facts, since we've been able to gather for a picnic. It was the three parish, now it's the four parish. So wonderful to be able to be together. So last Sunday, we heard about Abraham being told that Sarah would have a child. And so in the Old Testament passage that we heard today, Isaac was born. Tension seemed to grow very quickly between Sarah and the servant Hagar, and between the child Isaac and Abraham's son with Hagar, Ishmael. It was clearly intense and challenging for all concerned. To make a long story very short, the judgment is made that Hagar needed to be banished from the community. It's deemed that she and the child are causing problems, issues, troubles, and the punishment is extremely severe. Not just move to the next village over. No, Hagar and Ishmael are sent out into the wilderness of Beersheba. It seems a horrible expulsion and price to pay for some minor indiscretions. She carries with her some bread and a water skin, and essentially enough to last a day, and is told by Abraham, more or less, good luck. I hope it works out. In so many ways, it really is a horrible reading. A dissension arises, and the only solution is for one to leave and to try and survive on meager rations in the harsh wilderness. It's very close to a death sentence. But this passage from the Hebrew Bible was not really about family relations or jealousy or resentments or harsh punishment. It was not a story about power struggle or one person's hatred of another. Those aspects of the story exist. But the real essence of the passage is that it is a story of grace. That no matter what, God will not give up on us. The name Ishmael means God hears. And that was the most important part of this story. God did not forget God's promise. God did not abandon. God did not reject. God's love endured. While she felt completely forsaken by the world, God came to Hagar and brought her peace. For when the water skin was empty and there seemed no way forward, we heard that the angel of God came to Hagar, this slave, this hated one, this person of very little status, and God spoke to her. Hagar, of all people, rejected by Abraham and Sarah and their descendants, Hagar hears these words from God. Do not be afraid. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. These were not idle words, but words of blessing, and of promise, and of compassion, and of grace. Words that we all long to hear and that were meant for us to know as well. Words that often go unnoticed and lie buried in our Bibles. Words that rarely get mentioned, but show that God's love for humanity goes much farther than the limitations that we put upon it. That God's love embraces us through anything that life throws at us. Many of us who take the Bible seriously forget about Ishmael and leave him in a place of wilderness. But God's commitment to him would never end. For after this episode, his family continues to interact with the other descendants of Abraham. And in fact, it's a group of Ishmaelite traders that bring Joseph, the son of Jacob, to Egypt to become a great prince there. But this is getting ahead of the story. Ishmael, God hears, heard the voice and the promise of God that God would never abandon or forget, but was inviting Ishmael and Hagar into life, abundant life. For this is the way of God, taking what is often seen as the forgotten, the unknown, the unloved, the stranger, the foreigner, the downtrodden, the weak, and God lifts them up and speaks in and through and with them. God's love never ends and never gives up on us. This message is so important, but we don't always hear it or seem to recognize it. This past Wednesday was National Indigenous Day of Prayer. Many events were planned across the country. It was a day really to focus on reconciliation, to look forward to a new vision, to look with hope at God's call to all people. We have so much work to do related at aiming to right the wrongs, to live into the promises we have made here in Canada, and to live out the justice and peace we are called to because of our faith in a God of love and a God who will never abandon us. But we need to truly pray for this and live into this, to live into true reconciliation that reflects Canada's call to action in truth and reconciliation. The image of Hagar and Ishmael being banished from the land and left in a wilderness seems rather closely connected to how the indigenous peoples of this land were treated by European settlers. Hagar and Ishmael would be ones who would reveal that God had bigger plans and expectations than what first seemed evident. It seems similar to the voices of indigenous people that we are now finally beginning to hear. Walter Brueggemann wrote this prayer, which seems to fit with Ishmael and Hagar and indigenous people of Canada and many of the situations brewing in our world of today, and God's voice heard amongst it all. He writes, "How strange you are, good God, that you gather those without rights and power and transpose them onto chosen people who carry your future in their midst." He said, "How strange that in ancient Egypt you gathered displaced slaves and they became your chosen people. How strange that Jesus came among distressed people and welcomed them as your kingdom carriers. How strange that generous attentiveness to the least is as though it were done to you." He said, "And now we attend to many displaced people, and we notice afresh disposed peoples in their own lands who have been devalued and dismissed." He said, "We confess before you and our neighbors that some of us have been preemptive in aggressive ways. We have been indifferent to the claims of sisters and brothers. We have been complicit in pretending we are legitimate possessors. He said, thus we pray to you, strange God, to do your strange work and guide us in doing your strange work. Do your good work that the world does not accept. Do your works of being mother and father to orphans. Do your work of being guardian and patron of disenfranchising peoples. Do your work of restoring displaced peoples, of recovering devalued cultures, of giving back what has been lost but never relinquished. You are the God who regards the other as friend and neighbor. So bind us into your neighborhood with folk unlike us, and guide us as we learn to cherish and to respect our neighbors who preceded us in this good land. He said, we pray your strange name as we await your strange work. In the gospel, we heard Jesus say, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, he said. Now, obviously, this sounds almost to be the opposite of this strange work, as Walter Brueggemann describes it. But listen to how Jesus interprets these words. He said, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Perhaps this is only viewed as an invitation to martyrdom, but I think it is much, much deeper than that. It's saying that Jesus came to bring life, abundant life, true life, a grace-filled life, a love-filled life based on God's unwavering promise to be with us always, that God would lift up the lowly, care for the abandoned, invite the weak, pour grace on all we might think unworthy, including ourselves. Jesus had no time for those who could not see this. And this was the division that he spoke about, the division of not seeing the presence of God, the presence of God's love in ourselves and in others, that indeed life is sacred. And as such, we live in response to seeing it as a gift. This is the life we find in our faith in Jesus Christ. Ishmael, God hears, and Hagar, the weak and downtrodden foreigner, offered a message from about 4,000 years ago that is a message that has not wavered. God hears. God knows. God walks with. God loves. God invites us to make a bigger table and a more compassionate faith and a more loving world. Words so vital to hear. This morning, Katrina and Ronit and Nikita are being confirmed. Confirmation is about connecting to this faith and this trust in God's grace and love. The finding of life, Jesus might describe it. Grace and love that will walk with us, guide us, encourage us all the days of our life. No matter what happens, God will be with us. That is God's eternal promise to us. Confirmation is about affirming and inviting this gift of the Holy Spirit to descend on these three, but also on all of us, to continue to lead us to see the abundant life to which Jesus is calling. May that be revealed to Nikita and Ronit and Katrina in the prayers of confirmation, but also for all of us in the breaking of the bread. Amen.